Thank you. No pressure. My name's Debbie and I'm an addict. I didn't plan anything today. I didn't realize it, you know, we booked the dating and it's come around quite quickly. And so I suppose, you know, I came to Narcotics Anonymous because I was broken. You know, not because I really wanted to be here. Not because I was having a fun time using, not because life was easy out there. I came here and I was absolutely like devastated. You know, there was, you know, I had two children in tow with my active addiction, one that I used through my pregnancy with, and a bag load of trauma, you know, which I didn't realize was there until I got clean. And you know, I never pictured myself as an addict. I never expected to become an addict. I used because I thought it was fun at the time, and then realized that it took me out of myself. And when one substance stopped using, I switched over to to another one. When things got too heavy with a group of friends, I changed friends. I changed outfits. I changed makeup. I changed hairstyles. Just like I changed my substances, really. You know, whether it was one drug or another drug or a drink, it didn't matter, you know, or a relationship or job, you know, I jumped through things just to, you know, just to feel whatever was going on inside of me. You know, I couldn't sit still for long enough. You know, I always felt different. I always felt outside. I didn't feel part of my family. And, you know, I always felt wrong. There was so much going on at home. It was really chaotic. My dad was an alcoholic. My mum's a chronic codependent with, and her moral, what, you know, her value was that she couldn't leave my dad despite what he was doing to her, beating her, you know, and I had to endure all of this, chaos and like really unsettled behavior, you know, never knowing how or what was going to go down, always feeling on edge, always, you know, always expecting the unexpected. And when it didn't happen, I was still on edge. You know, everywhere I went, I was still on edge. I still felt unsettled in myself. And that's pretty much how it was in my using. As soon as I started to feel unsettled, I moved on. You know, and then, like I said, I came to Narcotics Anonymous because I was broken. I thought it would fix the situation. I thought it would get me to keep social services out of my life. I thought I was boxing clever. That's what I thought I was doing. I thought I was creating, you know, if I created this scenario, if I got clean and did whatever they said to, you know, they wouldn't take my kids from me, or they wouldn't, you know, wouldn't get overly involved in my life, you know. And you know, I've always been quite manipulative, you know, to meet my own ends and to meet my own needs. You know, when I needed substances, I found a way. When I needed money to do things, I found a way, you know, and I always thought I was one step of ahead of everybody. And if I needed to sort it out, I did, you know, but that didn't work when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it was, I was told that if you come here and you do the things that we're requesting you to do, which were other suggestions, 10 meetings, you know, share honestly, take people's numbers, use them, you know, don't pick up that first one, pick up the phone, get a sponsor, work the steps, you know, and be of service, that my life would be great, you know. And I had no intentions of doing half of that. I came to meetings and I treated it pretty much how I would go into a pub with, you know. I was excited to be around people. I was excited to be clean. I was excited to try this new life. And I used a lot of, I twisted what I was being told to meet my own needs, really. You know, like they said, get a sponsor. I got a sponsor. My sponsor told me to come out of my relationship. You know, my relationship was very much addiction based. He, you know, we used together, we fought together, we had a kid together. You know, it was very toxic. It was dangerous, to be honest. And but I thought he was the love of my life. I thought we were going to get married, have children. This would be, you know, the perfect, you know, perfect end to it all, you know. And I justified my using when I was around him. He was selling it. So if I spent more money on him, he would be there. You know, the fact is he just wanted the money, you know. And the justifications that I had and the stories that I made up in my head was that I wanted to be with him. And so if I spent more, he would be with me more, you know, because I was insecure. I always thought he was with another woman, you know. So I had all this crap going on in my head, you know, and I also had this behavior of, you know, being judge and jury of everyone. You know, you did me wrong. I thought I was doing you wrong, but more I was hurting myself. You know, and that's what my step four showed me. And I didn't stay clean for long, though, because I cherry picked this program. I went to meetings, stayed in my relationship, was going to score for my partner, for my partner at the time, cracking heroin, you know, going back, letting him smoke in the house, you know, and thinking nothing of it, you know. And then the behaviors came in, you know, of getting, you know, unsettled, aggressive, angry, frustrated, irritated, you know, typical words of irritated and discontent came up, you know, and it was everybody else's fault because blame was pretty much my ammo. You know, you would use if you had my life, you would use if you grew up in my lifestyle, you know, you would use if this had happened to you, you know. I had my, because of my dad, I have to use, you know, to fit in with people, I have to use, you know. There was always a reason behind why I had to do something. And so I stayed here and I got 90 days and then I took a job in a pub because I wanted to get back to some level of normality. And at the time, you know, I didn't associate alcohol as being a substance. I didn't associate it with, you know, causing me harm. I was brought up in pubs. You know, Sunday was family day. You know, that's where we went and spent time with daddy, you know. And so I didn't understand that it was a problem for me. You know, I always swore I never wanted to be like my dad. My dad was an alcoholic, so I didn't want to be nothing like him. So I used substances. And, you know, there is no difference, you know. And it took a long time to understand that. It took a relapse to understand that. It took a relapse to understand that, you know, alcohol was and is a drug. You know, it took a relapse for me to understand that, you know, I drink like an alcoholic does, you know, and I'm addicted to whatever I put in my body and however I choose to change the way I feel. And so during this relapse, I was out there. Thank God it was only for 6 months. You know, but it was the most darkest and painfulest place I've ever been. And, you know, I just remember this darkness. You know, I can remember it like it was yesterday. You know, like it was so dark. You know, I made promises to my children that I was never going to use again, that life was going to be completely different. And I broke that promise. So I had all this shame and guilt. Then I had the shame of guilt of letting the people down in Narcotics Anonymous. I had the shame and guilt of my parents. And I just felt so useless, you know. And that was the story of my life, that I wasn't worth anything, that I wasn't, you know, I was just a hindrance. And so the alcohol kick-started it off, but I justified that at the time. You know, I justified it because it wasn't what I thought was my substance of choice, which is crack cocaine, because that's what brought me to Narcotics Anonymous. That's what brought me to my knees. That's what destroyed me, you know. And or so I thought. And And as I went through the different substances, I always justified it, you know, that line in the sand, well, it's okay because it's not this. And okay, well, I've done that one now, so it's okay because it's not this, you know. And then eventually I ended up relapsing, and I even justified my relapse because I got my ex-partner to give me a blowback on a pipe, so it wasn't firsthand smoke, you know. So I can justify the color of, you know, a bit of poo wrapped in silver foil and tell you it's all sparkly and worth the weight in gold, you know. And that's how my mind works. I can justify anything so that it sits okay with me, so that I can continue on my life. You know, that level of denial, that level of hiding behind the bullshit. And that relapse took me into really dark places. You know, all the things I heard said in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, were my yets, you know. And it didn't just start with picking up the substances. It started with, you know, I wasn't a heroin user. You know, I never injected. You know, so I was sitting in meetings already looking at the differences between me and the people that are in the rooms. You know, I don't have as many problems as them. I don't look like them. I haven't gone as far as them. I'm only 24. You know, maybe that there's, you know, maybe this is just something I'm going through, you know. And the reality is when I relapsed, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter about my age. It doesn't matter what I've done. It doesn't matter what substance I take. You know, what matters is how it leaves me feeling. And how it left me feeling was completely and utterly broken. You know, I found a connection with myself in Narcotics Anonymous, where I found a place to be me. I found a place where, you know, I felt like I belonged. I felt like I didn't have to have all these masks. I didn't have to hide, you know, and I had a lot of things to hide, but I didn't know that when I got there, you know, and I didn't know about my behaviors. You know, to me, they were just who I was, you know. And then, you know, I went into a treatment center, and I made the choice to do a 12-step treatment center. And, you know, I will say I had a fantastic counselor, and that counselor carried me through my first stage treatment. And then I done second stage, and then I went back to the house that I'd done all my using in. The drug dealers were outside the front of my house. And there was days, I don't know how I managed to get out of my flat and get to meetings, because the desire to use was so strong. But somehow I found myself in meetings. I would just wake up and all of a sudden I'm sitting in a meeting. It was just like, I was half the time I was on automatic pilot, you know. And I'm still here today, and I learned a lot from that. I learned a lot from, you know, it doesn't matter where I go, it doesn't matter where I am. If I want to find a drug dealer, I can spot them from a mile away. You know, I have like these radars that tells me, yeah, look, can you see them? They're running really fast. They're walking really fast. They're on their way, you know. And so I managed to stay clean. I left the treatment centers, went home, and then I made my house a home. You know, that's what my sponsor said to me, make your house a home, you know. And I never made my house a home. And within 2 weeks of making my house a home, I got offered a move, you know. And the way I looked at that was that I was made my house a home for somebody else to take over. That was my, you know, my sponsor said to me at the time that that was my amends to my house. You know, that was my amends to my family. And I moved, you know. I didn't follow all the suggestions. One of the suggestions that are there is that you shouldn't get into a relationship within a year. I've never found that in the literature. So I got into a relationship within 6 months of being clean. And, you know, I had another two children in recovery that I absolutely idolized. You know, I managed to hold a relationship for 12 and a half years. You know, I was never loyal to anybody, not even to myself, you know, in my using, you know. And being in a relationship teaches you a lot about yourself. You know, having children teaches you a lot about yourself, you know. And it, you know, all the things that they saw and all the things that they went through, and all this, you know, like overcompensating, which is what I did. I overcompensated because I wasn't there. I overcompensated because, I used through her pregnancy. I overcompensated because of what I put my son through and the way I treated him, you know, and that had a knock-on effect, you know, that they, you know, I allowed them then to emotionally blackmail me, you know, because of how I felt about myself. And then, you know, I found another, I went through the steps, found a bit out about myself, but didn't feel like I really worked my steps. I just feel like it was at that time, it was just like, yeah, I've done them now. That, I think that was more my attitude, you know? And at that time, I remember thinking step four was really hard, you know, and feeling the shame of reading it out instead, reading out my step five. And I went on my way. I started living life. I got a job, and I worked my way up through that job, you know, to management, and people trusted me with money, you know, like lots of money. I couldn't be trusted with anything. My mum didn't even give me a front door key until I turned 38. You know, like she literally couldn't trust me. And I wouldn't have trusted me. And I've managed to rebuild relationships with my mum. You know, I stopped, you know, I had a really rocky relationship with my dad, you know, and I ended up cutting my dad out of my life in recovery. You know, I was still trying to get from my dad what I wanted to get from him when I was growing up. And it was never going to happen because he's not capable. It's not because he doesn't want to. He's just not got what I need. And it took work with the sponsor that I have now to be able to accept him exactly as he is and to go back and rebuild a relationship after not speaking to him for 5 years, you know. So I got my new sponsor, after letting go of the other one because she decided to relapse through her own reasons, you know, and all I ever have in my head is, you know what, we don't have to use no matter what, you know, but obviously she felt there was something that she couldn't overcome, and, you know, that's her journey. And I am quite blessed that I'm still here. So I found myself a new sponsor, and I went against the norm there as well. I decided to go for a male sponsor. And I embarked on the work again. And the work this time for me has been the most eye-opening experience, you know. Step four was difficult last time, and this time it turned out to be my step six. And that was so painful. It was the most painful experience that I've ever been in, you know, watching yourself do something, knowing that you can do it a different way, or knowing that you should do it a different way, but still going and doing what you would normally do, you know. And then I found acceptance at six and seven have been the most freeing for me, you know, and I always end up back at six and seven because they are about me. You know, that's where my power is. That's where I make my change. You know, I've just finished writing my step 10, which I sat on for ages because I don't know, maybe it's because I'm thinking, well, I get to the end, you know, then what? I procrastinate a little bit, you know, I have all these defects still, you know, but not all of them are still there. You know, some of them were removed because I've changed as I've grown in recovery. I've learned a lot about myself. I've embarked on college courses, and I passed my level 4 exam this week, but I haven't completed the course. I won't find that out till August, but even completing something when I'm prone to sabotaging is normal for me, you know. Relationships are part of my addiction. And I've managed to stay out of a relationship now for 3.5 years. And I feel fantastic for doing it. You know, I've learned now so much about myself. You know, I could tell you in a relationship everything that the man likes, his food, his clothes, down to the socks that he wears, the shoes that he wears, you know, the aftershave, you name it, everything he watches on telly, and I will tolerate it and accept that that's what we're watching or that's what we're eating. And since I've been separated, I've managed to work out, you know, what it is, the food that I like and what I like to watch and what my favorite color is and what music I like, and, you know, and start to embrace me. Thank you. And by embracing me, I've learned to love myself and accept myself for who I am. Some days I fall short. Some days I feel like I'm not that great. Some days I feel quite crap. But, you know, a good day for me is if I don't use, you know, that is a fantastic day. You know, that is the blessing. And all the other stuff is just added extras. And thanks, Bex. And it took me a while to understand that, you know, that's what I came here with, just to get clean and to be a mum, you know, and I've been clean. I'm a mum, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a cousin, I'm a friend, I'm a sponsor, and I'm a sponsee. You know, I have ex-partners that I get on with, and, you know, I'm a peer, you know, I've worked, you know, so I've done the work that I've needed to do on myself. And, you know, my biggest achievement is rebuilding my relationship with my other brother. You know, I've been around quite a few years, and, you know, he got married and I was clean and I wasn't even invited to the wedding. You know, he wouldn't even look at me, wouldn't even talk to me. You know, so being able to, in the last 2 years, rebuild that relationship and rebuild our family has been absolutely amazing for me and for my mum. And, you know, and I feel really, really blessed that I've had those experiences. And there have been times where I feel like going, you know, like, I just want a day off, or, you know, I just can't cope with this, or completely in pain and wondering if it will ever end and why it's happening to me. And, you know, and one thing I've learned is that, you know, my higher power's got me. You know, I have faith that no matter what, everything will be exactly as it's meant to be. And when I don't have that faith, I call my sponsor, you know, or I call my support network, and I get that right. My mind gets right. It gets put back in its place. And I've got three grandchildren and I'm covered in biscuit below here, you know, and I don't care today. You know, normally I would have like gone, oh my God, I'm going on a meeting. But you know what? They're the love of my life. You know, they're my heartbeats. And I have so much love to give. And, you know, and I'll keep coming back because there's so much I still need to learn. I need to learn how not to abandon myself when things get hard. I need to learn how to not harm myself with food when things get difficult. You know, I'm still a work in progress, and, you know, and I'll continue to do the things that are suggested, and I'll keep turning up, and I just won't pick up a day at a time. And so if you're new around, just keep coming back. Don't pick up the phone, which is what was said. And, you know, like, you know, this works, you know, whether it's on Zoom, whether it's in person, you know, it doesn't matter. Just keep reaching out. There's a lot of people out there that are willing to be there and to support you. You know, they give your the numbers are given to you for a reason, you know, so use them. You know, you're not a hindrance. You know, we're here to help, you know, and just keep coming back. You know, that's it. And I think I'll leave it there. Thanks very much. Thanks for letting me share.